Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother in Christ, Rudy Zablocki. Welcome to KnowBetterWay.net. Today's discussion is titled Living by God's Word. And our reflection verse tonight will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to praise of his glory. What a mouthful of comforting words, guaranteeing our salvation. I mean, I'm looking at that, and it's such a promise. God promises us when we hear his word of truth, and it's called the gospel of our salvation, and when we believe our dear Lord, he marks us, he seals us with the promised Holy Spirit, and he guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So we are his. Praise God. So when I look at that, I think of so much of God's words has so many promises, and it also calls for us to obey. And as we go through tonight's study, it'll kind of go back to obeying and also God's promises coming up. So when we read the Bible, God's precious words, we can say we're reading a love letter. God's writing to the world, letting them know that he loves them. He loves the world so much, he wants none to perish. 2 Peter 3:9 reads, "Lord, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And that word repent, when Jesus started his ministry, that was his first word, where he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So the Lord is patiently and lovingly moving his Holy Spirit, using his blessed saints. That's you and me. We're the saints. We're called the saints. That's with a small s. We're called to spread the gospel, the good news. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20 reads, which is the Great Commission, "Therefore, go," he's telling us to go, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So how do we make disciples of all nations? Well, I think we need to know God's word. We can't go out there with, okay, John 3:16 is a wonderful verse, but we need more. I don't know, maybe the word ammunition, more empowerment. So it's very important as followers that we know God's word. And it's the very breath of God talking to us. So, if the Lord has our hearts, and we have a heart for the lost, just like Jesus had, there's so many wandering sheep out there, just like many of us used to be. And they're dying to hear God's gospel message. the good news in a world, as you listen out there, in a world of bad news, so much bad news, death and destruction, or all the affairs going on in Hollywood and all the other nonsense news. So this is good news. We need to let the world know the good news. And just like Jesus, when he wept over his people and yearned to gather his people like a hen gathers her chicks, so should we have a compassionate heart for those that need to hear John 3:16, and I'll also add verse 17. And I'm going to personalize that. I'll use my name. For God so loved Rudy that he gave his only begotten son, that if Rudy shall believe, he shall not perish. And God did not send his son into the world, to condemn Rudy, but to save him. As we read God's word, we grow our faith and respond in obedience with love. There's much work for God's saints to do. You know, we need to get the, you know, there's two types of people in the world, I heard a preacher say one time. He said, the followers, we're called the saints with a little s, and the non-believers are the ain'ts. So we need to get those ain'ts where the saints are. So we need to get them on our ship. You know, as we live our lives, we need to be ambassadors for Christ, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And what is that hope? Well, we're all sinners, and Jesus died for our sins. And we repent and turn from our sins. And we follow Jesus, our Savior. He is our Lord. And as we make that move to follow, to repent and follow, we are part of his eternal kingdom. And to that I say, amen, praise God. And right now I'm going to play a song. It's called Thy Word. I think you'll enjoy it, by the Maranatha Singers. It's about 3 minutes long. And after the song, I'll be back and I'll be taking some phone calls. And I'll give you that phone call, that number right now. 347-989-0095. Here's the song, Thy Word, by the Maranatha Singers.
I'm
Okay, folks, we're going to open the phone lines now. I'm going to give you that number again, 347-989-0095. I do want to apologize. I had a little technical difficulties tonight, and I got started instead at 8 o'clock. It was about 8:08, but thankfully I was able to get it worked out. I want to encourage you to call. You know, we're all friends, and if you have a story, I'd like to hear it. If you have some special Bible verses that are dear to your heart, I'd love to have you call right now. Well, I have a few verses of my own that I love. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that's God's truth. Not what the world tries to proclaim as truth. God's truth through his word. We're free from the chains of our sins. We're free from all the thoughts and feelings that we're worthless. God loves us, and we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. That truth will give us a peace in our heart that transcends all human understanding. It's a special verse in my heart. Okay, I do have a call right here, and I'm going to take it. Hello, thank you for calling NoBetterWay.net.
Hey, this is Dave. How's it going there?
Okay, my dear son, I'm glad that you called. I apologize. I had a little late start, little technical difficulty, and I didn't have my son Rick to bail me, so I had to figure it out on my own, but I did.
Hey,
so.
You know what they say, the world keeps spinning, right?
That's right.
So what's going on tonight?
Well, talking about how, as Christians, we need to live by God's Word, and how God's Word will talk to us and move us.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I did a sermon not too long ago. And it was kind of sad because I did some research for it and actually found that only about 9% of born-again Christians actually have a biblical worldview. So that kind of paints a picture that, you know, a lot of people that are Christians aren't really diving into God's word enough or dedicating their life enough to Jesus to really have a full understanding of God's word and living it out.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that low. You said 9% only that really get into, they have a biblical view, and so I would say really get into God's word. I would have guessed about 50%, but boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, that was a Barna research. Barna.org does a lot of research and things like that. And yeah, they just ask questions about, you know, what you believe about Jesus. Is he sinless? Do you believe that the devil really exists? Do you believe the scripture is all true and stuff like that? And based on your answers, they come up with a determination if you're living according to, like, what the Bible teaches. And it's actually, the Bible is actually what helps you to determine how you live your life. And the numbers are sadly low, so there's a lot of work to be done out there for people that are looking to go out and make disciples like Jesus tells us to.
Yeah. I wanted to go to, it's in Timothy 3:16, and I'm sure you're aware of in Timothy, the second book of Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So right there, God's word saying that it's not man that made this up. It's God, his spirit moved in the prophets, and you know. This is, you know, we're actually reading God's love letter, his heart. You know, this is written for us. I watched a movie one time, a movie called Joshua, and the one pastor said Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for Biblical Instruction Before Leaving Earth. And I thought that was...
Yeah, I mean, that verse right there tells you a couple of things. First thing it tells you is it's God-breathed. So this word is God's word, not man's word. So a lot of people that don't like a couple of verses here, a couple of verses there, they just want to cut it out of the Bible because they don't like it. And they just kind of excuse it and say, well, that's what man thought back then about God, and it was just cultural or whatever. But if the Bible is breathed out by God, inspired by God, so... the men wrote it, but God put the thoughts into their hearts and minds, and God knew exactly what he wanted in the Bible. Then you can't take any of his word out, and you got to live by all of it. And the other part is that some people say, well, the Bible doesn't really apply to my life, and that verse tells us it's good for teaching us, rebuking us, correcting us. So the Bible is good for teaching us how to live for God, but it also speaks to our hearts when we read it. So if we're not living for God, we're in sin. It'll correct us and even reproof us. So, like, you know, the Bible, like God's Spirit working through his word, could actually tell us, you know, you're not doing right.
Yeah, I'm sure, David, myself, I've been convicted many times by the Holy Spirit, you know, when I do something wrong, you know, that, you know, and part of it is by reading God's word that the Holy Spirit convicts us and say, you know what, you better get that right now. You're doing the wrong thing, you know, or you need to apologize or seek forgiveness or whatever that sin that you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's like, it doesn't feel good at the time, but, you know, the Bible says that, you know, God disciplines those who are his own. So, I mean, if we're getting corrected by God, that's actually a blessing because it helps us to realize that he's adopted us as his children. So once we accept Jesus, we should expect that God is going to be correcting us and disciplining us. And if we're not receiving that discipline, we need to pray to God to make sure that we're right with him, because he gives that to all of his children to lead them to be more like Jesus.
Yeah. I'll read the other one. There's two. I always like to always keep those verses close when someone says that the Bible is just some big made up fantasy book. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So right there says how these men that God called, these prophets, that the Holy Spirit moved them, to write what they wrote. I know that many theologians and pastors have said that God, he'll let you use your personality. So he let these prophets use their own personality. So every book in the Bible might have a little different style. Even the Gospels are different, but yet it was still God's word, His Holy Spirit that inspired them.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that all the different types of people that wrote that were writers of God's word. You got just basic people, and then you got doctors all over the map. People in high places, people in low places, and the same thing. Like you said, there's gonna be different styles of writing, different levels of articulate. I guess I don't got the articulate because I can't think of the word. But the point is that there's different levels of writing, but at the same time, it's God's message every time. God got across what He wanted to get across. God sent His message through these different people, and it's a pretty cool thing to see that happen. This is the message that's really important for Christians to understand, because I think a lot of people that claim to live for Christ and they take the Bible lightly and they feel that they can, cut things out of the Bible or not obey the Bible in full, or thinking that some things are just like cultural and don't really apply today. I think the message that the Bible is inspired by God, given to us by God, His holy word, I think a holy God who's existed forever could understand how to give us His word. And I think some people are like, well, it's 2014, that doesn't apply today. I think God, who has a full picture of the world before it was even created, He knew from the beginning to the end how things were going to go. For them to picture God being like, oh, I should realize in 2014 the world was going to be different, that's pretty disrespectful and view of God, It's like the creator of everything that knew everything was going to happen before it was going to happen. He knew everything that was going to happen. So to say that, well, this just applies to that time, well, that's just crazy talk.
Yeah, well, that God that created us, and we don't know, 6,000, 10,000, whenever the actual time of creation, that same God from then and the God that has the whole world in His hands today, that same loving God, He hasn't changed a bit. So those words He wrote. And I love in the first chapter of John where it says John 1, verse 14, and you get that on a lot of your Christmas cards. It's one of my favorite Christmas cards too, where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So right there, Jesus is the Word. And to me, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, pretty awesome stuff. Yeah, I think, if you look at a couple of the different major calls that God have to His followers, so you got Deuteronomy 6, you got love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, everything you have within you, love God, and then to teach God's commandments, put His commandments on your heart, and then mm-hmm. teach them to your kid all day long. So it's like, love God, love His word, share His word with your kids so that they'll love Him too. And then Matthew 28, it even extends even further, where it's like, don't just share the word of God with your kids, share the good news of Jesus with people all over the world that that need to hear it. So you see it from two of the major passages that God gives us for major commandments in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It's to love the Word, know the Word, and then Matthew 28, make disciples. So teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. So God's Word is key in all this. You don't just tell people, say this prayer, and then that's it. I mean, some people are left there, but God doesn't call us to leave people there. God calls us to make disciples. So and teach them to believe and obey all of my commandments. So if you're going to teach them to obey all Christ's commandments, you're standing by their side and teaching them the Bible in full, you know? So
it's not just give them that insurance policy, you know? Give them an insurance policy that, okay, now you're saved, everything's cool, you know?
Yeah, I don't know where people came up with that. I treat the gospel like a sales pitch. It's I don't know where they came up with that idea. I think a lot of people do it from a good heart because they really care about people and don't want people to perish in hell. But I think they don't go the full extent of what God's looking for in Matthew 28. Not just go and share the gospel and have people pray a prayer. It's go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So if you think about all that Jesus commands in his word, this isn't a one-day raise-your-hand type of thing. You're going to teach them to obey all Christ's commandments. That's like a lifetime of walking together in God's word, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I was going to say, like, it's so important, like, if you share the gospel and you become friends with someone and they're Christians now and, you know, you invite them to your church and then after a couple of times you just forget about them. No, you need to say, you know what, we've got these small folk Bible study groups. We want, you know, we'd love to have you join us, and then they can grow with us, you know, as we read the Word, and you know, they can grow with us and become mature Christians, which that's what God's calling us to do, right? Make disciples. Yeah.
Right. So it's like if you think about it, so we've had people that teach us the Scriptures. Teach us God's word, build into us. And then we go out and then we build into somebody. And then, you know, they go in to build someone. So it just kind of multiplies how God set it up with humans being the agents to share his word. Obviously, he is the only one with the power to save. But he sends us out as his agents. And you see, I think I actually saw a video clip once that said if people actually made disciples after being, if people all around the world are actually discipled and then they make disciples, that it would only take like 37 years for the whole world to like hear the gospel. So it's like some people say, well, why did God set it up that way with people as his agents? I don't know exactly why God did it that way, but I do know that if people actually obeyed, it's a feasible plan for the whole world to hear the gospel.
Yeah, well, there's so much in the world that's blocking the gospel. You know, even in our country, you see how it is. Separation of church and state. You know, just in the public setting with the media, they don't want too much of Christianity to be, you know, in the public view. I know you have the Christian, TV stations, but and the radio stations, but it's always a struggle to get it on the main, you know, on the main media.
I think the best route to helping other people become disciples is just relational. So, you know, you just have to build relationships with the people that God puts in your life, and you just have to be brave. And who did God put before me? Who am I able to share the gospel with? And, you know, I think a lot of times we're like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough or more. I don't know if I have the right words to say. What if I don't know all the answers? Well, if God tells us to go and do something, he's going to be with us. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 28 that I'll be with you until the end of the age. So if he wouldn't call us to a task that he wasn't going to be with us throughout. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's I love that promise that he'll always be with us till the end of the age. You know, he's not going to leave us high and dry. Hey, Dave, I've got another call. I have another caller. You don't mind if I grab...
Oh. Have a good night, and I'll be listening in for the rest of the show.
Thank you.